Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to study your word. We invite your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Communion equates to relationships. Not only our relationship with God, but our relationship, I might even dare to say, especially our relationship with one another. And I don't know about you, but relationships aren't that easy, are they? I work with Pastor Jeff Harper. And he must think, wow, you know, Pastor Sam, you know, I can see some things, but there are other things that I might not understand. I live with Carolina. She might think, well, I got that, but where did that come from? And we've all experienced moments where we think, you know, how do we relate to one another? How does this work, this thing called relationships? And we all believe relationships are the most important thing, yes? We say our relationship with God, first thing. Our relationship with others, second thing. But close. And we understand how important relationships are because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for each one of us. He was willing to pay the price. He was willing to die for that which broke relationships. What is that called, brothers and sisters? Sin. He was willing to die in our place for that which divides, that which breaks, that which weakens us, that makes us feel uneasy, uncomfortable, that which puts pressure on our shoulders and makes us carry a burden that sometimes seems to be squashing us. But Jesus came to take that away. Amen? And in the verse that was read this morning, but seek ye first, I believe is the solution to many of our relationship, let's call it disagreements or issues. Jesus invites his disciples to seek first what? His kingdom. And when I think of the word kingdom, I think of a community. Amen? A group of people. It's not just one person called the king with a beautiful palace, with a beautiful realm of say land and who knows how many other things. But in that kingdom, it wouldn't really be a kingdom if there were no what? People, citizens, correct. And Jesus invites us to seek first what? His kingdom. Are there other kingdoms in this world that demand our attention, that say, look at us. You want to be part of us. In fact, there's even a thing called brand loyalty, right? Where companies basically do whatever they can to keep you as part of their customer base. And that can be distracting. And often, I forget to look at God's kingdom. I forget that there's something much better than what this world could ever offer me. Jesus invites us to look beyond what is on this planet Earth, to look beyond what this world could ever offer us. In fact, Paul says, what profits man if he gains what? The whole world. But he loses what? His soul. He loses his life. And then Jesus invites us to seek his righteousness. He doesn't say, seek Samuel's righteousness or Fallbrook's righteousness or the Adventist righteousness. But he says, seek his righteousness. Amen. And what does that mean? What does that entail? As I was studying an article written by Bruce Waltke, and he's famous because he wrote this huge book, and it's really big, thick book, called Syntax on Hebrew. That's the book. And he wrote it together with another person by the last name O'Connor. And he studied this term righteousness in the Bible. And we believe it's a central theme in the Bible, isn't it? You open any book in the Bible and that word pops out, righteousness or righteous. And it hits you from different angles. And it's something that's maybe very foreign to us in our system where basically we have laws. And if you follow these laws, you are what? Righteous. And then that's part of it. Yes, there's this legal system you follow and you are righteous. But he presented in this paper another aspect of righteousness. The aspect of right relationships. And he basically connected the word righteousness to relating rightly or rightly relating to God, rightly relating to others, rightly relating to our environment. The right way to relate. I think of my phone. Why do I have to check it so much? Nobody's writing me any emails. No. Or my computer. The internet. And so many things of this world that take our time and discourage us maybe many times from seeking what? God's kingdom and his righteousness. And he presented these texts that he found in the book of Proverbs. And I want you to open your Bibles with me to three texts. We're only going to see three texts this morning. Going to go briefly through. We're going to go now back to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at Proverbs 21:21. Proverbs 21:21. Watke writes, it is profitable for us to do righteousness, to pursue it, according to the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs 21:21 tells us, whoever pursues righteousness, whoever seeks righteousness and love finds what, brothers and sisters? Life. And what else? Prosperity, righteousness, and honor. So is there profit in seeking, pursuing righteousness? Is there? Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19, just a few chapters away from there. Proverbs 15, verse 9. I'm sorry, not 19. Proverbs 15, verse 9. And I read, "The Lord detests the way of" who? "The wicked." And in Hebrew, many times the wicked goes together with the unrighteous. But he loves those who what? Who follow righteousness, who pursue righteousness, who seek righteousness. It improves our relationship with who? With God, when we follow righteousness. It connects us with him. And the last verse that I share with you is found in chapter 14, verse 34, just a chapter before this one. And it reads, "Righteousness exalts" what? "A nation." And maybe we can supply this word instead of saying nation. Righteousness exalts a community. Righteousness exalts a church. Righteousness exalts a family. But what does sin do? Sin condemns any person. And here we find a text that exalts the community. Righteousness exalts what? The community of God. You might ask the question, how then do we pursue righteousness? I've tried and failed. How do we do the right thing? What I see in this verse that Jesus shared with his disciples, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," I see hope. I see good news. It's attainable. It's something that can be sought and found. It's something that is real. It's not a fairy tale. And it's something that God wants to give each one of us. Amen? It's something that he owns, he has. It's his kingdom. It's his righteousness. And he's willing to give it to whomever seeks it, whomever wants it, whomever desires it. According to Scripture, is there happiness in being righteous? There is. But maybe you, as I have found out, as Paul wrote, there is how many of them who are righteous? There is none who is righteous. So what do we do? If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful, and he is what? True, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, in other words, if we humble ourselves, we say, "God, I need you. I need you. What you did for me is great, but I need your righteousness. I need you to come into my life." There's a quote from Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing. "The city of God will open its golden gates to receive him who learned while on earth to lean on God for guidance and wisdom." Is that easy? To lean on God for guidance and wisdom. And Bruce Watke found out as he studied the book of Proverbs and this relationship between righteousness and how it is explained in the book of righteousness, in the book of Proverbs. He said, righteousness is connected, it's related to the word wisdom. A wise person is what? Righteous. Or in other words, a righteous person is what? Wise. We need wisdom to relate to one another, don't we? And according to this text that Sister White wrote on Thoughts on the Mount of Blessings, God is willing to give us that guidance and that wisdom that we need. So the city of God will open its golden gates to receive him who learned while on earth to lean on God for guidance and wisdom, for comfort and hope. Amid loss and affliction, the songs of the angels will welcome him there, and for him the tree of life shall yield its fruit. Then she quotes a text from the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 10. The mountains shall depart, the hills be removed. Basically, the world will be no more. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Is that good news, brothers and sisters? That's great news. God has made an incredible covenant with each one of us. He did this through whom? Through Jesus. On that cross, he made a blood covenant to restore us, to change us, to transform us into the character and likeness of whom? Of Jesus. Why are we here today? We're here because we want to learn to be like whom? Jesus. Am I there yet? No. I am not there yet. Do I want to be there? Yes, I do want to be there. And I know you want to be there too, don't you? Because we do live in a bad, bad world. I know many of you have gone to visit someone in the hospital. You go, how, God? How is this happening? Why? Why is this person suffering? And I've had that question. I've even said it out loud. I don't know why this is happening. And I've had people standing right next to me say, I know why. It's because of sin. It's that. That's the reason. It's terrible. It's destructive. It wants to take everything from us. But praise God for what he did. Amen? Amen? And for the hope that we have in Jesus. That even though we go through trials, difficulties, and many times ask ourselves, where is God? Or the question that the prophets would all often ask, how long, Lord? How much longer do we have to live in this world that seems to be breaking apart, going down fast? Jesus invites us to trust in him, rely on his guidance, on his wisdom, so we can rightly relate to him, so that we can rightly relate to each other, so that we can rightly relate to the things around us, and for his honor and glory, many more can come and partake of the wonderful things God has prepared for each one of us. Seek ye what? first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Amen. I'd like to invite the congregation.